Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
Today we are talking about Gamera versus Zegra.
1971, a.k.a. Gamera against Deep Sea Monster Zegra. I'm not going to try the Japanese part.
Okay. Okay, so first of all...
I'm reporting remotely from Chile.
That's where you are. I was trying to figure out where you were.
Yeah.
So normally we record these two at a time, for those that don't know. And we post every other week, and we're kind of in a getting dangerously close to running out of pre-recorded episodes. And so we decided while we have this quick opportunity to do just one, just to give us a little bit more time. And I'm glad we're recording just one because I have so many questions.
Oh, man, I have questions. I was hoping you could answer them for me.
Okay, this movie is out of control. It got to the point.
It is all over the place.
So it got to the point where I decided I can't keep typing down quotes in my notes. I couldn't do it. It was like 5 minutes in, and I'm like, I can't deal with all of the quotes from this movie. Oh my gosh. This may be the most confusing movie that I've watched. From a plot standpoint.
Yeah.
And I feel like... So we watched the American dub version, and I would say that the people who created the dub watched the movie maybe once, didn't have a translator or a script, and decided to have fun with it. Because
really?
Nothing makes sense, and there's all kinds of goofy jokes in here.
I'm curious if the Japanese version isn't close to this, though. But there's a lot.
I could tell you one point that's different, and this comes later on, and it was the biggest question mark I had.
Oh, okay.
And here I'll just go through it now because this is something that I looked up. So at one point there's these kids, and they get teleported to a spaceship, and then they get teleported back to Earth, and they meet up with an old man. This old man is not important. He doesn't show up in the rest of the movie. He's just here during this one scene.
Yeah, this is the best part of the movie because it's so fucking weird.
He's dressed in like tattered garbage bags. And you mentioned this movie.
Yeah, I was like, is this like Ben Gunn, like the guy from Treasure Island that got left?
It reminded me of the mini movie before Strange Brew where it's like the U.S. blew up Russia and the Russia like the fleshy-headed mutant. So... Uh-huh. Okay, so at one point they ask, they think they've time traveled because no one would dress like this old man. And the old man says, this is 1985. And I was like, holy shit, this movie was made in 1971. So they time traveled into the future.
Right.
But then the kid said, no, that's not how people dress in 1985.
Exactly.
So I'm like, does this movie is supposed to take place in 1985? So I was totally confused. So I looked it up.
Yeah, I was like, did I miss something?
So I looked it up. So this movie was made in 1971 and was dubbed and released in America in 1985.
What?
Yeah. So that's what that's all about.
Okay.
So that's what's happening.
So maybe what happened was they watched it in 1971 and didn't get around to dubbing it to 1985, but didn't bother to rewatch or try to... try to figure out what the original was about.
So this movie's a mess.
Yeah, because the guy goes, your clothes don't look like the clothes people wear in 1985. Why is that? And I'm like, okay, well, he's right. But, well, how does he know?
Yeah. And also, why was that guy dressed like that? Who was that guy? What? Oh, okay. This movie, it's not in my top five, clearly. I'm getting that out of the way.
I put him down as old seaweed man because he was holding like this bunch of like seaweed in his hand and he was chomping on it.
I thought he looked like just like trash bag guy.
You thought that was trash bag bits in his hand?
I thought he was wearing like trash bags.
Oh, he was. Yeah, well, he was like in tatters of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suddenly thought it was going to be some kind of post-apocalyptic kind of storyline we're going to get into, and I was like, that's interesting. But then it immediately cuts to them being interviewed by, like, the military and scientists. Are we in present day again? Because they're with their parents. No one looks older.
I had to stop the movie. There was one scene in this movie that I rewound four times to try to figure out what was going on.
This is a human scene?
Completely confused. It was the lady alien's explanation of the planet Zegra and where they like their origins and stuff.
Oh, you mean after she became
I mean her
when she was bad.
When she was bad, her introduction.
Right. Okay.
I can get to that when we get there. But
let's back. Let's start at the beginning.
So SeaWorld looks boring. I'll tell you
that. Well, the opening. Well, first of all, we have that opening of like the moon base.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yes, yes. And
and then you see this UFO that kind of looks like a king's crown.
With tricks.
With like
trick
cereal in it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, tricks when it was the balls, not the fruit shapes.
They're back.
Yeah, I heard. Then there's this, I'm guessing this is kind of like when we were watching the movie that had, where they were having the World's Fair.
Yes.
In Japan. So this is kind of like, this is like a cross promotion with SeaWorld, is awful, especially now because SeaWorld is awful now, and just SeaWorld is terrible, and it's just like they keep cutting back and forth with like the parents kind of bossing their kids around, getting them to like brush their teeth, and then they cut to like them brushing the whale's teeth with a giant toothbrush, and all that kind of business is just kind of hard to watch.
That's not the hardest to watch.
When the guy's getting kissed, and then it cuts to the other guy who's watching the guy get kissed?
No.
Oh, that's fine. They're now, kiss your mom. And they have, like, this picture of the kid's mom. Like, kiss your mom. Send kisses to your mom. But it's a framed picture that she's kissing. Or she's kissing, or they're kissing her dad. They had to kiss somebody. They're kissing this picture.
Yeah.
That was weird. And then the guy's like got his head in the orca's mouth.
Because
like,
he was checking to make sure he got his back teeth or whatever.
Then it cuts to the guy who's like the trainer, the guy in the orange shirt. And he's watching going like, hey.
That's the stuff.
That, it's really, It's like, I was like, the SeaWorld stuff was unsettling enough. And then the guy had to make it weird.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead. What's the part you're talking about?
Oh, I was talking about the dead dolphin.
Like, we gotta cut it open up, see what killed it, because something killed the dolphin. Yeah.
The other thing. Appreciate that.
The other thing was they really tell the kids that you have to take good care of your teeth, or the dolphins will make fun of you.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It was like because these are kids' movies, and I feel like they try to shoehorn in
very
lessons. And it was, it was starting off with hygiene and whale hygiene. And it was weird that this brushing of the teeth happened, and all of a sudden it was apparently part of a show. That's what got me, was that people were sitting around watching this.
Right. And also because, like, now that SeaWorld's evil and all this kind of business, that they cut to the crowd laughing, and it kind of feels like this kind of weird, disturbing, like, nightmare sequence. I'm like,
yeah.
They seem like they had the same name for the killer whale and one of the sea lions.
Well, was it Moko?
No, Jumbo and Jumbo.
Because one of the seals' names was Moko.
And I really?
Yeah.
Moko in Spanish means booger.
Yep. Booger the seal.
Hold on. The sea lion jumps in the water, and they go, there you go. She's proving that diving's not just a male sport.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. That wasn't even, I mean, even for 1985, that seems weird.
Yeah, and so I'm watching, you know, and it's like, you can't erase now being influenced by Blackfish when you watch these movies.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a part where, like, they're talking about, like, look, we know you treated them like your children. about the dolphins and the different sea animals at SeaWorld, and I'm going, oh yeah, you mean you starved them and made them eat dead fish? But then that part ends.
Thank God.
Yeah,
but it's funny because
through, like, how it's also this big research area. What?
Yeah, where the military is.
Yeah.
At SeaWorld. I was at the SeaWorld branch of the military.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, at the beginning, we have the two guys, the scientist and the other dude in the orange shirt, I think.
Yeah, those two kids' dads.
Yeah, and they're talking about one of the wives having another child, and he's like, you want a boy this time? And he's like, yeah, of course, my daughters are like a handful. And I'm like, it's very bizarre dubbing slash exposition, which the weird thing is those daughters, I thought they're going to be a bigger part of it, but it was the two kids.
The way they got introduced. Yeah, but yeah. I guess it's just it's one of those daughters and then the boy.
Yeah.
And the two men, but it's like the two, the I think the moms are sisters? Or there's like a closer relation between these two men.
Yeah.
Because like they're talking about, like, they're married to each other's sisters.
Yeah.
It's like when they're talking about the lunch, they're like, yeah, and I got your sister's specialty, peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah, and lemonade.
And the kids had eaten them, and they've been under that tarp this whole time. And like, boy, I wonder if this is going to come back around.
It does.
These kids sneaking down to places they're not supposed to be. And not really being that much of a problem.
It wouldn't be a Gamera movie without a couple of stinkers.
I wonder if that's a big thing. One of these movies encouraged young Japanese children to try and sneak into places. A quote I wrote, science always seems to destroy nature instead of doing everything to protect it. It's up to us biologists, like us, to warn the world of what's happening around us. The pollution theme, which is very common in these movies, It's like we hear some pollution at the beginning, and then at the end they talk about it again, kind of like, oh yeah, and don't forget, this movie's really about pollution.
Well, they mention it. She mentions it in the middle. What's her name? Laura Lee? Or...
Yeah, it's kind of like they're saying like that like humans don't deserve the earth.
Yeah, and I have tons of questions. That's where I watched that part like four times, trying to figure out what it is. And chances are, because that scene lasts about a minute, I'm putting that scene up on Instagram because I want other people to weigh in on this. Because it makes no sense to me.
Okay, so yeah, so we find the kids and they get beamed up to the spaceship, basically, because they find it floating in the water.
Yeah, and there's this lady, and then there's Zegra.
Yeah, so we see the room that is the spaceship. There's two revolving things on the side. They kind of look like when you made one of those planet mobiles.
Yeah,
in like science kind of thing, like a bunch of balls going around. And like, circling around.
It's like a very Tomorrowland sort of looking.
Yeah. And up above, there's cobwebs.
Yes.
Like the whole rest of the place is clean, but they can't quite reach up into the attic. Yeah. I didn't notice it at first, but that's Zegra's head just sticking out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he talks.
Yeah.
Like just like normal talking. Yeah. To the point.
Yeah. He does both. Yeah, it's like, now, does he move his mouth when he talks? I was trying to figure out.
The light between his mouth and his horn, kind of pointy nose thing, snout, blinks when he talks.
Oh, you mean, so the same thing that shoots his ray?
Yeah.
Is his speaking thing.
Yeah, and the way he was talking, it made it seem like it was a...
He has a mouth.
Yeah, but it reminded me of like a Wizard of Oz thing. Like, I felt like there was some sort of alien inside that. Like, it was a machine.
Yeah, I was starting to think that it was something that he was piloting.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Because the Zegra, the kaiju form, basically, looks like he's shiny and metal looking. Like, he could have been a mech.
Yeah. This is the Zegra Star Spaceship. So that's the name they gave this thing.
Oh, yeah. There's stuff. Okay. I love some of the stuff that they refer to things. That's just so great old sci-fi type of references.
Did you remember the full name of the planet Zegra?
No.
Either I should have wrote it down because she says it so many times. Where it's something like of the blank, the Romulus galaxy.
It was something that sounded like Romulans.
And the fourth.
Like Romulus.
Of the fourth whatever. I don't remember.
Yeah, and like ones are, yeah. And then she says, 400 light years away. And the guy's like, 400 light years? And then I was like, what? Why, even if you could travel with the speed of light, it would take you 400 years to get here. And she's like, listen, I told you how far away it was. I know how light years work. You don't need to explain it to me.
So they don't understand, like, they don't believe her for some reason that she's a space alien and then they're aboard a ship. So he says, prove you're from the planet Zegra. And so her response is to create a magnitude 18 earthquake in Japan, which apparently destroys the most famous hotel in Japan and a lot more than that. Even though later on, it seems like Japan's okay.
Right. And there are also like two giant, like the guys had mentioned two other giant earthquakes.
Yeah.
That happened before on opposite parts of the earth, like a 12 and then a 16. And then this is the 18. And I was like, yeah,
this should be leveled.
Might be felt in a lot more places.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, like, when they first get to the spaceship and the kid says, this must be a spaceship. And she's a spacewoman. And like, he's pretty clear. He's the one who has to fill the adults in on what's going on.
Yeah, that's why I stopped taking down notes as far as quotes go, because everything was like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and as usual, the kids tend to be experts in alien technology.
Well, the kids, so, okay, after the whole SeaWorld learning about brushing your teeth and then they asked about what a magnitude 18 earthquake is, and you get the example. I was like, is there going to be a test after this?
Right.
It felt like they were giving me a lot of information. Like, it was it's like mandatory to have some sort of educational content.
That's got to be like, yeah, because like it's kids watching this movie. It's 400 light years. So here's what that means, kids. Like, kids can figure out what 400 years seems like.
Yeah. Okay. So the origins of Zegra, the planet. This makes no sense to me. And essentially what she says is that they're from a planet that's covered in water. The water got polluted. So they left the planet, came to Earth, and now they're going to take over the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The main issue is she says that her planet, the water was polluted by Earth scientists. When she said at the beginning, our underwater world was polluted by Earth scientists, I assume she meant they were like kind of Atlanteans, and then they left to Zegra, but they said they came from Zegra. It's really, really hard to follow the fact that she says Earth scientists polluted our seas.
Right.
And that doesn't make any sense. And I watched it again and again because I'm like, are their origins here or are their origins in space? And I think adding Earth to scientist was a mistake. So the planet Zegra is completely covered in water. Another thing that's just kind of baffling.
But it can't be, because the planet, because like Zegra, when he's talking to the woman, he's telling her that, you know, it's like these people live on land and they feed off of what's in the oceans. Yes. And we live in the oceans and we feed off of what's on land.
Yeah.
So there has to be some land in Zegra then.
I guess so. But the fact that they say the Earth scientists polluted their waters.
Yeah, okay.
So like,
yeah, there's no,
unless we sent something up, but I don't, it was bizarre, but there's all kinds of stuff in this that I feel like they didn't take a second stab at the English script.
Sure.
They're just like, everything felt so crazy.
Right.
But these kids escape this spaceship by trying the green button.
No, first they stop one of those things from spinning when she tries to chase them a little bit, because like she freezes their parents, and then they stop the thing from spinning, and that somehow freezes her.
Yeah.
And then they get in the boat, and they're like, I don't know, try that green button.
And it worked.
Lucky guess.
What? Okay, so we didn't talk about, I mean, there were no dude aliens in the movie, but as far as the costume for the one,
pretty simple.
Yeah, kind of cool though. I think we kind of like helmets are cool. Like, you know, she's just kind of, it was more like a green foil sort of.
Yeah, one piece with tights. It was green tights. Yeah,
I thought it was kind of cool, but
all right.
There was nothing Yeah, it was just an outfit. So when they escape, Zegra tells the alien woman that they know our secret plans to conquer the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So to go kill the children. And it's like, of course they know the secret plan. You literally just told them.
Right.
Yeah. So this is one of the kids.
And she's like, listen, okay. And she says, so I'll just kill everybody. Says, no, don't kill everybody. And he's like, "This is we need them to make them our slaves.
Yeah.
Just kill only those two children.
Yes.
Make sure you get this right. Cut to kids in the boat. And they're like, oh, there's a ship. And the shark fin of the Zegra ship just splits that boat in half.
Yeah.
And explodes that.
So that's another thing that doesn't make sense is, like, they say they want to enslave the humans, but then he's just going to eat them, right?
Right. Yeah. Because he talked about right now, there's, like, this surplus of fish on the land right now or something. So it's like, we can't kill them right now.
Yeah.
Because that's all going to get spoiled or go to waste. So we need them and we'll make them our slaves. I think it's to harvest the land. It might not be that they're actually going to eat the humans.
Huh. That's weird. Yeah. We get some cool jet footage.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there was parts where I started questioning whether I was looking at a model shot or jet shots.
Uh-huh.
Because I think the jets, the real jets that they used, looked like fake Godzilla type of jets. Like, they didn't look real to begin with. And so there's some really cool shots with that, which I, you know, model jets are the best.
Yeah.
And did we finally get Gamera? Is this Gamera show up and stop? Who stops the... After Zegra, the shark, cuts through that ship, it starts chasing the kids...
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Gamera shows up, and this first shot of Gamera, like, close up on his head, I don't remember Gamera having such a prominent tongue before.
I noticed that, too, and it was, like, big and fat, and it kind of flopped around when he opened his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
And some later shots, you don't quite notice it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about, if they had to do something with a different head. It's so funny the way Gamera's eye just goes forwards and back and forwards and back the whole time. The kids are always trying to be like, they're always kind of like trying to diss each other, basically. It's like they're like one will say something and then the other one will like make a comment about what that one said. Uh-huh. You know, like little girl says she loves Gamera and the boy's like, love, that's all girls think of. And then there's a part where she goes, yeah, boys are stupid because I knew that all along.
My next note is bikini time.
Well, oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, because we already talked about them getting interviewed by the military, I forgot about the part where they're talking about the space woman, and they're like, yeah, she wasn't as pretty as my mom. Or my mom, she wasn't as pretty as my mom either. And they're like, okay, both your moms are very pretty. There's, okay, I guess, or maybe it is so bikini time.
There's been, massive earthquakes, magnitude 18 earthquakes.
And... Yeah, that's ridiculous huge.
Yeah. So even though that's happened and Zegra's, you know, contacted the whole world, we have a squabble between the SeaWorld guy and the hotel owner over who's going to buy this fish. Yeah. And I'm like, why am I watching this? It has nothing to do with anything. And it really didn't. And I forgot that was the SeaWorld guy until they mentioned it. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the same guy. But I was like, this hotel owner, I wonder if... He's clearly not the hotel owner of the most famous hotel that got destroyed in the magnitude 18 earthquake. But I like that this guy was still in his suit and tie and trying to haggle for fish when it's already like the whole place should be surrounded by military and rescue units and stuff. But no, it seemed like everyone was going about their day, which made it seem like the whole earthquake thing was just made up by the English dub. And I mean, making it magnitude 18, they probably didn't know how strong that actually was.
Right. No way.
And then right after this, they say now there's a 13 magnitude earthquake.
And because it's like... 9 is at or near total destruction. I just brought it up because I wanted to look for a friend. A 9 or greater, according, this is based on just the Wikipedia page. It's like at or near total destruction, severe damage collapsing to all buildings, heavy damage and shaking extends to distant locations, permanent changes in ground typography.
Wow. That's a 9. And
that's
and
a 9.
And we've had an 18 and a 13. And it's funny, while that earthquake is happening, the sisters of the girl are just sitting there watching TV. They don't seem affected. Oh boy. This movie is really weird.
Oh, wow, interesting. I was Googling the worst earthquake in history. Mm-hmm. Happened in Chile.
Uh-oh. Oh no. What was the magnitude of that
earthquake? It was a 9.4, 9.6.
Oh shit. So
that's resulted in tsunami affecting southern Chile, Hawaii, Japan, the Philippines, New Zealand, Australia, and the Aleutian Islands.
When was that?
1960.
All right. Cool. How long are you over there?
You want to know what type of earthquake it was?
Sure.
A mega thrust.
That one was. So an 18.
We are children. What?
So an 18 would be a double mega thrust? Why, that's funny.
Mega thrust is like, you know, it's like that's like Elvis's best move.
All right, so
I have to give him thrust, but then I kind of do a little winding up thing and I give him the mega thrust, and that always gets him going.
For that. You want to talk about Zegra, the monster?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's three versions. There's three, like, as far as, like, costumes go, which is kind of cool. Because normally we get, like, if you have, like, a flying guy, you have the rigid one. But this has, right. But he swims, and you have the rigid one that swims. You also have a kind of a flying, swimming, arms flapping version.
Yeah.
And then there's a
like
standing.
Like a floppy fish.
Yeah. And then for a little bit, there's a standing version.
Yeah, because like when he's out of the water, he can kind of like stand up and have like legs.
Yeah,
like splash.
Yeah,
he's kind of like a metal swordfish. Someone on the internet, they're describing him kind of like a goblin fish.
But, oh, okay, yeah, I know those.
He's or a goblin shark. Yeah, he's definitely like a bunch of parts. Like he's got big wings, kind of like a flying fish. Uh-huh. It's got like swordfish spear. Yeah. It's got kind of like a bird beak, kind of like maybe like
like a sunfish,
like a squid beak.
Yeah, I like the design a lot. I think
cool looking.
Yeah, he's cool.
There's some parts where he's a fish and he's kind of like pitiful, like a fish.
Yeah,
like there's some parts where you actually kind of felt bad because he's just. Sitting there out of the water, and you look like, oh no. And he's got the same kind of gamma issue where if he lands on his back, he's in trouble for a while.
Yeah. Underwater, he's pretty awesome.
He's great underwater.
And so he can shoot lasers from his face, his eyes, or his little blinker. When he's out of the water, he shoots a yellow beam. Which I think Jiger in the last one we saw also shot a yellow beam, which is, I guess they just figured out that's an effect we can work on and we'll just use that again.
Yeah. As for what the yellow beam does was a little confusing.
it trips Gamera.
Isn't that the beam that woke the woman up when she was frozen in the spaceship?
Oh, I don't know.
He had to, like, beam her back awake to get her to do her thing. At one point, they mentioned that he has this ray that suspends organic activity. So I'm like, okay, I'll go with that. Mm-hmm. So that's what, like, when Gamera hits Gamera, Gamera's like, oh, it's kind of like shuts him down, in a sense.
Yeah.
And Gamera falls straight down into the water. And I didn't realize later when they cut back, they were cutting back to his feet sticking out of the water.
I didn't either. I was like, okay, I know this is a process shot. Why
it's a curious rock formation.
Yeah, and then it realized, well, because you see him fall back into shallow water, and then it cuts to him in deep water where his head kind of rests on the surface, so you never get like a full like sort of view of what's going on with his feet.
Right.
Once I realized it was his feet, it made me laugh. I thought that was great.
Yeah. you realize it when it gets struck by lightning, and you're like, "Oh, those are his feet."
Yeah, him. So Zeger his also uses, which I think is his most effective weapon, is his dorsal fin is razor sharp,
super sharp.
And Cameron's doing this thing where he's like just a turtle shell, and he's hopping around underwater, and he's able to use his fire breath underwater, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
But Zegras.
Well, he does a lot. At first, he throws a rock underwater, and it seems to go pretty fast. Cameron's got real quick reflexes. There's a lot of parts where he's ducking his head back into his shell.
Oh, yeah.
To avoid getting hit by the ray.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a lot of him completely sealed up in his shell, but still bouncing around.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's not using his rocket holes.
Right.
He's just able to do it. When Zegra uses his dorsal fin to slice through Gamera's shell, like this sort of kind of like milky, cloudy substance comes out. Like,
I was trying to figure out what exactly is that.
It was just blood, but it looked really neat. Like it was real cloudy, like milk or something.
It was like. Oh, this kind of looks like what you imagine milk of magnesia tastes like. there's a mintiness, so you imagine it greener than it is.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I was like,
because it's not green.
No, it's not.
Milk of magnesia. No, but it's kind of like minty. Yeah. It's like the way it's like a green Pepto.
Yeah. Yeah. So, according to Zegra, our ocean is very dense, which causes him to grow. And I thought that effect looked really cool.
Oh, no. I think it's the opposite. It's that our ocean is not dense.
Oh, it wasn't dense. Which
causes him to grow. Like, the denseness of the Zegra planet keeps their fish small.
Yeah. So Gamera figures out that Zegra is sort of weakened by light and by knowing
this. And we only know this because people told us
Gamera figured it out. So Gamera decides to take Zegra out of the ocean and up to the surface, which can only be described as being 69 through the water.
I was going head to toe, Seinfeld style.
I don't know. Zegra's mouth was really, really right in Gamera's crotch.
I saw it too. I saw it too.
It's like Ace and Gary.
Sam was like, no, it has to be this way.
It's like they don't care, or I don't know what. It's even if they're face to face, that would make sense. Like, they made a conscious effort to do it that way.
I'm wondering, or maybe just the way the costume is, it's hard. They couldn't. I wonder if it's a practical reason. Like, they're going, we can't line them up. The heads are too big.
But they do it later.
Then I have no idea.
Because later there's Zegra, no excuse. Or Gamera grabs Zegra the fin and he
flies him out. Yeah.
I guess they just wanted to change it up. It's got to be a joke. They had to have been giggling on set, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know
if they're trying to sneak sex into it. I don't think this is like a let's draw a penis here.
It's really funny looking, though. It's like Ace and Gary.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's really like it. I guess so. Gamera kind of dies again. I think he died in the last movie when he turned to stone and they submarined into his mouth. And so in this one, his eye just kind of turns off when he dies because his eyes like are lit up. And then they just kind of turn off. So he's kind of dead. And then he gets Frankenstein later, as you mentioned, with the...
Right.
Lightning. Okay. They're trying to figure out how to take care of Zegra, and they realize that Zegra uses some sort of sonar. And the reason they come up with this is because of a blind dolphin.
Right.
Which is another bizarre thing.
There's a blind dolphin with a camera on it all the time?
Yeah. And was it a real dolphin or was it a fake one? I couldn't tell.
I think it was real dolphin.
Okay.
Whether it's a real blind dolphin, I don't know. I don't know if we...
That's really funny.
But it's just a way to explain the dolphin sonar system.
So, like in the last Gamera movie, remember they explained how they had that elephant with like the sort of like parasite tumor on its trunk?
Right.
So this is like they're trying to up their game. So what's the thing that's going to spark our speculation? Like, what are we going to use to take out this guy? And so someone's like, how about a blind dolphin? Like, I can't wait to see the next Gamera movie to see what animal affliction helps them save the day. But I thought that blind dolphin was, coming up.
Oh, you know what? There is a blind dolphin.
Where? In Japan?
The Shishuk dolphin is also known as the blind river dolphin. And I wonder if that is footage of one of those. Because it does kind of look like the dolphin.
Crazy pointy nose.
Yeah, his nose is really weird looking. He kind of looked like, he looked like he only had one fin on the side or something. Like he had a kind of like weird shapes. I think that might be the same kind of dolphin. Yeah, it came across like, oh, we have this dolphin that's blind. Like something happened to it.
And it doesn't bump into the walls.
It's that river dolphin that doesn't, I guess, I don't know. I think it's like the river so murky it didn't need eyes, and eventually it didn't matter.
So there's a, here comes the big twist.
Not an expert. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
We find out that the alien girl is not an alien girl.
No.
And I thought that was a lot of fun. It was probably the most, I thought it was entertaining, and it was the only, like, it was one of the few things that made sense, because we found out that she, this woman is just being controlled by Zegra, and she was in the moon buggy at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
Which I completely forgot about that whole part, and so that kind of twist worked on me.
I loved the, where she's like, I was working on a moon base, and I was riding on a moon jeep. So I kept to check a moon crater. It's only, there's like this mysterious moon ray, and I got very moon dizzy. And I couldn't moon. I was so proud of it.
I wonder what her favorite kind of pie is.
What?
I wonder what her favorite kind of pie is.
Oh. What?
Moon pie. Zegra eats people.
Is that really a pie, though?
Moon pie? It's not really a pie. It's like a, it's like cookies with marshmallows.
Yeah.
No, it was bad.
How did I get here? I was just on the moon. Oh, the other thing is how they get her out of her hypnotic state.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So these are scientists, and they figure this sonar thing out, and I'm like, okay, they're going to put together a machine that creates a sonar sound that frees these people. This?
If you come any closer, I'm going to feed them to the dolphins, but they're killer whales in that pen.
Yeah.
But what does she know? She's not a marine biologist.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead. You want to explain it?
No, I can't. I don't want to do the sound.
Oh. Okay.
But if you want to, go for it, because...
He gets, like, the little, that walkie-talkie thing, and he goes,
Oh, my God. Okay, so since Zegra talks, and he doesn't really have a roar, that might be the sound I played at the beginning of this episode.
You should. Yeah, you totally should. He has a little bit of a monster noise.
Is funnier.
But it's not a roar. He doesn't roar. He just kind of goes, wah, it makes little noises and stuff. But no, this is better. You should definitely use this.
And he kept doing it. It was, it might have been my favorite thing in the movie. It was.
That's the other one. When the scientist guy, when he snapped them out of it just by like making a noise in the thing, like, their ears.
But he kept going like, around, and it's like he is the only one that can make that sound.
Yeah.
It was specifically his voice making that sound.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I don't know.
Is somebody like, I like how also Zegra's plan changed. Like, at first, we knew he was going to enslave the humans on land, and they're going to live under the water, but then he's like, we're going to destroy the entire population on Earth.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, I wasn't going to do this, but you guys pushed me to this now.
I just wanted to kill those two kids you're hanging out with, and that's it.
Yeah, like, because, the monster made noises, I started thinking, like, oh, this is Zegra, but then Zegra could somehow speak telepathically. But I guess there's like how he speaks through his mouth and how he speaks through his light.
Yeah, I don't know. When he was up in the cobwebs, it seemed to sync with his light, which is how he grabbed the submarine. Did he grab the submarine through that part? The little, oh God, what did they keep calling it? I should have wrote it down.
Oh, the bathyscope.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a real.
Okay.
Those things are like bell shaped kind of. Yeah. I looked it up.
Cause they said it so many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also because like in these movies, they always call from the thing that they're in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like submarine. Hey, submarine.
Please talk.
Hey, this is bathyscope. This is bathyscope. Talk, calling a base.
Yeah.
Calling helicopter. Bathyscope to helicopter. Lower us a little lower. Get us a little closer. There's also the part when the two guys are like going, hey, if you authorize this, we'll go look for Gamera. We have a bathyscope. And they have this kind of like heroic emotional handshake between the two of them.
Yeah.
There's also the whole thing where they're talking about like, because like the kids go, hey, can we ask Gamera to help us? And they're like, I don't know. Gamera's kind of dead right now. And they're like, oh, we'll check on it. But there's a part where they talk about how what they can't defeat Zegra. And they're like, because there are limits to what we humans can do. And the whole room kind of goes like, oh, yeah.
So Gamera grabs the bathyscope and brings it up to safety because they're running out of air.
Well, they get attacked. Well, first of all, the kids sneak on.
Yeah, of course.
Again. And they're like, well, listen, we can't bring them back up. It's too late. We're just going to keep them here. Mm-hmm. And then the kids start sticking their tongue out to the camera. Yeah, so then they get attacked. And this starts filling with water, all kinds of stuff. And then Gamera's got to save them.
Yeah. So Gamera's flying along the water, which is cool. It looks cool. And then he comes in for a landing, and it's another one of those landings for Gamera. Where he just kind of like plops.
Crashes. Yeah. So there's a lot of underwater action, but like Gamera's fireworks in the water. Underwater?
I think it has to be really hot, like volcanoes.
I think.
But it doesn't look like that. I don't think you could have like flames underwater.
I wonder if they did some kind of thing where they put like a layer of water kind of in front of the camera that you then saw, and they did it on dry.
Yeah.
Like some kind of watery effect.
Yeah, but flares work underwater.
They do, but
I mean,
the Gamera fire breath didn't like it. I feel like it would release a ton of gas bubbles around it. Like when you see people welding underwater, it's like all these bubbles coming out of it. It didn't quite have that effect. Major slices in the fight. It's like like doing like a Zorro Z on Gamera's chest.
Yeah, he did like an H. Like a sideways H or something. So Gamera is able to get Zegra up to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Zegra is like kind of flopping around.
Right.
And yeah.
Well, he grabs big rock and he throws it and sticks it onto his, and it sticks to his point. And then Gamera wins. And
probably the most. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, the first time he hits him, and you're like, oh, that's interesting noise. And then you realize Gamera's playing the Gamera theme.
On his back, like a xylophone. Back.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And celebrates.
I loved it. I mean, Zegra's on land. He can't breathe. Gamera's trapped him and just humiliates him by playing his own theme music, which Gamera is apparently aware of, his theme song. Oh, yeah.
Right. And he knows how to play it.
And then...
More than just knowing it exists, he can do it. Like,
yeah. And then he burns Zegra... Yeah. To crisp.
To the ground. Destroyed.
Yeah, it just sits there.
Which I was like, they kind of missed an opportunity because he could have just cooked them and then everyone ate fish.
Oh, and then the SeaWorld guy and the hotel owner could have all
would
the,
shake hands
yeah.
and be like, yeah, this takes care of it.
Oh, that would be good. I mean, it wouldn't make the movie better, but it would be good.
No, it'd be something else to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, and don't forget, our message is pollution.
Yes.
Wow.
It is not in my top five, but it is incredibly interesting.
I definitely feel, yeah, it's not in mine either, but I go like, I need to show this to people.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the Mystery Science Theater guys did this movie.
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I think there's so much to play off of. It's like, because like, I was seriously wanted to take notes every 5 seconds on the dialogue.
Yeah.
Like almost like it would have been a transcript of the whole movie. Because everything that was being said was ridiculous.
Right.
When it comes to Gamera movies, this one was pretty entertaining. But I don't even know. I don't know where I place it in as far as Gamera movies. As far as our top five, it doesn't break it. But
no, no chance.
But like Gauss was really good. The one Gyron was cool because you know he's a knife head. And a lot of those movies had clips in it. This movie didn't have any clips, but it just was so weird. And we mentioned on our. Recently on our Terror of Mechagodzilla episode, like that was the last Godzilla movie for a while. This is the last Gamera movie until 1980.
They did do Gamera versus Zegra.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
I'm gonna have to track that down.
Apparently 1988 looks like.
So 3 years after it came out in the United States? That doesn't make sense. This movie shouldn't be that close to that show.
Season 1, Episode 7, Gamera versus Zegra.
Huh. Yeah, that's a good one. So, yeah, the next Gamera movie isn't for 9 years. And so
they're like, hey, we need to step back and regroup here.
Yeah, but the fun of doing the Gamera movies in order is seeing what happens next. Because it could be, we haven't seen them. We've never seen any of them. So it's fun to see how it evolves or devolves. But I'm interested in seeing what a Gamera from 1980 looks like. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know there's some badass looking Gameras coming up. Yeah, I'm curious as to when they. And I'm pretty sure you're going to require like a full suit makeover.
Well, I mean, there's the one. The next one is from 1980, and then after that, I think it's 1995.
Another huge gap.
Yeah, 1980, then 1995.
Okay.
And then 96, 99, and then 2006.
All right. 2006.
That's what Gamera the Brave. But all of these movies, with the exception of Gamera the Brave, we have links to all of them. So you'll be able to watch them. You want to talk about next episode?
It's such a big jump. Like, I'm wondering, like, the tone in Gamera movies, the way they're such kids' movies kind of thing, it gets a little hard for me. I'm wondering if they grow up at all. Like, if, like, there's a quality to it, they go, okay, so now I'm going to make a little more of a serious movie.
Yeah. Like, kids are more sophisticated.
If kids aren't as, such silly and, I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We'll just up.
The next episode we have planned is Varin, the Unbelievable. Did you remember that? That we're doing that one, too? Like, next time?
Well, I mean, I remember we were trying to figure out which one we were going to do, and we had one. We were like, oh, we can't find that one. Let's do this one for now. And I knew you were going to mention it, so then I was just going to like sit back and let you say what it was.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I remember now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't.
It's like a horny toad.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got like the flying squirrel armpit leg.
Oh, webs. Right.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch that one. Yeah. I haven't seen it before. And so it'll be fun to check that out. We should have that available on kaijupod.com for you to watch. Hopefully, fingers crossed. If not, I think it's on, what did we say? It was on Amazon Prime. So it's available. You could find it. It's around for those of you playing along at home. You could also go to kaijupod. That gives you links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as our big kaiju list, which has what our upcoming movies are and movies you can watch and links to past episodes and stuff. So yeah, check it out. Good luck in Chile. Watch out for the mega thruster or whatever it's called. And until
so next far you've just had rain.
Yeah. That's good. Till next time, I'm going to listen to some sweet, sweet Gamera jams.
I'm gonna push some of these other spaceship buttons. We'll see what they do.
They probably also teleport you back to 1985. They all do the same thing.
You know, it'd also be great if that old guy was like some like celebrity cameo.
That's what I wonder. Who is he?
Like, hey,
like he shows up in other movies. Maybe he's
yeah,
like, or he's like a famous, like he's a famous crazy person in Japan.
Or he's from the original camera.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that guy. It doesn't kind of quite work with the movie. I'll leave it in.
Yeah.
We need to have. Yeah. So this like, wait, we're what? 1985. Wait, what? Oh no, we're present day.
I had to look it up.
Cut to you. Like, they could have written that guy off as he's just crazy and he pretends he's in the future, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know. Don't get it.
Nope.
There's so much not to get.
It's intriguing more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.